Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Monday, December 12, 2022. I'm Naima Latif, and today we'll join President Joe Biden at the White House as he reminds us that this is the holiday season, a time for joy, a time for giving, and a time for toys for tots. He's sharing toys with children and encouraging others to remember those who are in need and may appreciate a gift. Let's join President Joe Biden now at the White House. And later on, we'll hear an address by President Biden as he gives his response to the bringing home of WNBA star Brittany Griner. But now, let's join President Joe Biden at the White House with Toys for Tots.
Anniversary of Toys for Tots. And did you guys know that in 75 years, children just like you and other United States volunteers working with American Marines have helped 281 million children? 281. There are 14 million children in the United States who are living below the poverty line. That means they're at risk. And last year, some of you, the Marines and 55,000 American volunteers helped almost 9 million children. And we're going to do it again this year. And finally, I would say that some of us think that Toys for Tots is only for Christmas time and the holidays, but it's actually a year-round effort. And there's a major effort on literacy, and we're going to have a chance to help with that too. But first, what we're going to do is thank the band. Thanks for playing today and coming. And as you can tell, we have some really special guests, and it is my great honor to introduce our First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden.
Thank you very much. And thank you to you and family as well. And thank you for your service. And I'm so happy to be with some great friends today who also happen to be the spouses of our senior Department of Defense and service leaders. And I want to thank them for helping, for coming out to help. So Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. I'm sorry I have laryngitis. So how many of you know this book? Oh, everybody, wow. Okay. I love this book, and as a matter of fact, I might have dressed up as the Grinch for a White House event when I was second lady. And you probably know the whole story of the Grinch, but I'd like to read you one of my favorite parts. Okay. Actually, is there someone who would want to come up and read the one page? So, are you a good reader? Yes. Yeah, come on up. That way I... Okay, just a page.
And the Grinch hit with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling how cold it be so. It came without ribbon and it came without ads. It came without paint or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till didn't come for maybe Christmas past just needs a little bit more.
Thank you. You get a great gift. Understands that the holiday, what the holidays are about, more than what's under the tree, it's you. All of you are military children, and you understand the gifts that mean the most can't be the ones held in our hands. You need a friend or time with the people you love, or the chance to serve your community and your country with honor and pride. Those things can't be bought. They're only given with our hearts. So military kids like you give our country so much. You support your parents through moves and deployments, and you sometimes help take care of the family members who came home with maybe illnesses or injuries, and you help out neighbors when they need it, just like you're going to do today. Now, I bet a lot of you put up trees and lights at your home already. How many of you have done that? Most of you, wow. Well, at the White House, we do the same thing. But how many trees do you think we have? Wait, how many do you think? 150? That's close. Okay, how about you?
Joe Biden.
that age, I can hardly say my name in public. Actually, I used to stutter when I was little boy, until I was in high school. It's the only thing everybody... Anyway, you're a very impressive child. Thank you. Good afternoon, and Samara, thank you for everything. And kids, like you, are the reason why I've never been so optimistic about our country. Think about it. I just have one request. When you're president of the United States, and they say that Joe Biden is in the outer office, promise me you won't say to your staff, Joe who? Or, you remember me? All right, okay, that's all I ask. I just want to thank General Bella and welcome us today. I told him he and I have something in common. We both married way above our station. Ms. Bell, it's a pleasure to see you. And Lieutenant General Lester, you truly exemplify the Marine motto, always, always faithful. Over 38 years of service in uniform and four more leading Toys for Tots, I want to thank you as well for not walking away. Folks, it's an honor to be with you celebrating the 75th anniversary of this incredible cause, and it is an incredible cause. Toys for Tots is one of the best events of the year at the White House. We set up donation boxes everywhere. And last week, one of the collection boxes in the Eisenhower building had things, a huge thing, stuffed animals, smiling, toy bunny, perched on the edge. You can't see something like that without smiling. And that's what you all do. For 75 years, you brought joy and laughter and smiles to families all across this country. Last year alone, you collected 22 million toys for more than 8 million children, giving Santa a run for his money. But unlike Santa, you don't wear big red suits. You don't travel the world in just one night. Instead, you wear dress blues and army greens. As Marines, soldiers, sailors, you stand watch around the world every single night. As Jill mentioned, we have a We the Children's Room at the White House. And one of the pieces of this year's broader holiday theme is We the People when you come to the White House. Those are the very first words of our Constitution, I say to all the adults. They're the very idea of America. And in We the People, we see you, the best of us, the women and men who gave everything to our country and give back to our communities. You aren't just heart and soul of our nation, you're the very spine of our nation. And we owe you. We the people, we also see all the spouses, partners, and children here today. Jill and I know how much you give to our nation and how much you sacrifice. The English poet John Milton once wrote, "They also serve who only stand and wait." And it's true. We know that for those of you with husbands, wives, moms, dads, friends, loved ones deployed overseas, it can be extra tough this time of year. When our son Bo was deployed in Iraq for a year, it was hard to look at that empty seat at dinner table every night, particularly in the holidays. And for our granddaughters and grandson, they were the same age as many of you here today, it was even harder not to have their dad around on Christmas morning. So I want to tell you what I told them. You have to keep brave. You have to be brave. Even when your mommies and daddies are far away, they are so proud of you, and I'm so proud of you as your president, all of you here today. You all give back. You're helping other people, other kids, just like your parents are helping. And sometimes, just a little bit of help can change everything for someone. But think about the story that Toys for Tots shared of a young girl, only 9 years old, who fled violence from Nicaragua to come to the United States with her family. It was about 35 years ago. Parents had saved all the pennies they were able to get here. And they told her Christmas isn't going to happen this year when she arrived 35 years ago. But then one morning, a big Toys for Tots truck. Marines hopped out, and she got to pick a gift. You know what she picked? A huge stuffed bunny. She used it as a pillow. That little girl grew up to join the United States Marine Corps. She served our country in uniform for 26 years. She's now a major in the Marine Corps. I wish she could be here today, but she's on active duty. But she still remembers that first Christmas in the United States, and she shared her story with Toys for Tots. Because this program gives so much more than just gifts, it gives hope. You give community, and you are the inspiration that lasts a lifetime. That's not hyperbole. You know it to be true, and you're good. You've seen it in the face of the look of these children. So all of you kids, keep it up. Keep on being brave. Keep on being involved. Keep on helping other people. And may God bless you all. You have a Merry Christmas, and may God protect our troops. Now let's get sorting these gifts, okay? You with me? All right.
And that was President Joe Biden at the White House with Toys for Tots, distributing toys, and the military service people making a statement reminding us that the military families are often hardest hit during these times when loved ones are away. Well, when it comes to American citizens abroad having difficult times because the circumstances of their travel are unfortunately things they did not plan on, an update for the release of WNBA star Brittany Griner after, of course, nearly 10 months, WNBA star Brittany Griner was released from prison in Russia on Thursday, December 8th, and boarded a U.S. government plane that took her back to American soil. The two-time U.S. Olympic basketball gold medalist was charged with carrying drugs after a vape with hashish oil was discovered in her suitcase. She faced up to 10 years in prison. In return for Ms. Griner's freedom from a penal colony, the U.S. released former arms dealer Victor Bout, who was serving a 25-year sentence in Illinois following a conspiracy conviction. The U.S. was unable to secure the release of former Marine Paul Whelan, who has been in Russian captivity for nearly 4 years on espionage charges that the White House says are false. The White House confirmed that efforts to secure his release are continuing, even though he could not be included in the prisoner swap deal at this time. Ms. Griner stated on the plane on her way home, "I have been in prison for 10 months now, listening to Russian. I want to talk." This was according to Roger Karstens, the special presidential envoy for hostage affairs, who helped secure the basketball star's release and bring her back to the United States. He noted that she went around to each member of the crew on the plane to get their names and shake their hands for their service. Despite her Russian prison ordeal, Ms. Griner, who plays center on the Phoenix Mercury in WNBA team, is reportedly in good spirits. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby told ABC This Week co-anchor Martha Raddatz on Sunday, "She's in San Francisco at the Brooke Army Medical Center getting appropriate mental health care as well as physical health care just to make sure she's ready for her reintegration back into American society." Well, in response to the release of Brittany Griner, her wife, Sherelle Griner, speaks at a White House press conference about the awareness of other Americans who are still wrongfully imprisoned outside the United States. So we'll join that press conference now.
"Well,
and of course, there are those who are remembering, and there are those that are remembering. There are others who are still remaining in prison.
One more family for you. So welcome home, Brittany. And now I'd like to invite Sherelle to say a few words as well.
So, last 9 months, you all have been so privy to one of the darkest moments of my life. As you all are aware, there are so many other families who are not whole, and so BG's not here to say this, but I will gladly speak on her behalf and say that BG and I will remain committed to the work of getting every American home, including Paul, whose family is in our hearts today as we celebrate BG being home. We do understand that there are still people out there.
And that, of course, again, was Sherelle, the wife of Brittany Griner. And there have been responses across the nation to the fact that this deal could not include a release of Paul Whelan. His family has issued statements saying that they are hopeful that he will not be forgotten and that efforts will continue. And it's understood that his detention is being handled differently because of the charges that have been leveled against him of espionage. So this continues to be a high-level political issue. And the relationship between Russia and the United States is affecting other citizens. And even those who may not be politically aware of all the details are certainly feeling the impact, especially with the nearly 10 months that WNBA player Whitney Griner spent in Russia as a result of drug charges. President Biden issued a statement regarding the criminalization of marijuana, in which the intention was to decriminalize the possession of marijuana. Its criminalization has had such an impact on the lives of many who have been discovered carrying small amounts of marijuana and have been sentenced to time in prison as a result. And so for those who are watching this drama play out with the Russian government regarding a charge of drugs for hashish oil in a vape container, there have been conversations regarding the severity of punishment for use of certain drugs, and in places where marijuana is legal, the question becomes what should happen to those who have been convicted and are doing time for their possession and perhaps have had very small amounts in their possession, which may have even led to physical confrontations with police. So if there is a change in policy, how will it impact those whose lives have already been negatively affected by past laws regarding marijuana? Can records be expunged? Can there be some type of compensation for time lost for those who may even have lost jobs as a result of arrest and jail detention? what should be the response of those who have had their lives impacted by the criminalization of marijuana. And now that it is sold medicinally, what will those who have been charged with a crime now face? So here we listen to a statement from President Joe Biden regarding the decriminalization of marijuana.
As I said when I ran for president, no one should be in jail just for using or possessing marijuana. It's already legal in many states, and criminal records for marijuana possession have led to needless barriers to employment, to housing, to educational opportunities. And that's before you address the racial disparities around who suffers the consequences. While white and black and brown people use marijuana at similar rates, black and brown people are arrested, prosecuted, and convicted at disproportionately higher rates. So today, I'm taking three steps to end this failed approach. First, I'm announcing a pardon for all prior federal offenses for the simple possession of marijuana. There are thousands of people who are convicted for marijuana possession who may be denied employment, housing, or educational opportunities as a result of that conviction. My pardon will remove this burden on them. Second, I'm calling on all governors to do the same for state marijuana possession offenses. Third, the federal government currently classifies marijuana as a Schedule I substance, the same as heroin and LSD, and more serious than fentanyl. Makes no sense. So I'm asking the Secretary of Health and Human Services and the Attorney General to initiate a process to review how marijuana is scheduled under federal law. Even as federal and local regulations of marijuana change, important limitations on trafficking, marketing, and underage sales should stay in place. Too many lives have been upended because of our failed approach to marijuana. It's time that we right these wrongs.
And that was President Joe Biden's statement on the decriminalization of marijuana. The underage use of marijuana continues to be something that is creating a problem socially. The effects of marijuana use, just as the effects of alcohol use on young minds, can create irreparable damage. What should be the response to those who are addicted? Whether it's marijuana or any other drug, should the approach be one more of physical health care, detox, and counseling as opposed to punishment? Feel free to write in your comments on the On Air Daily News blog talk channel site. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/onairdailynews and write in your comments on this issue. Should the approach change when one is discovered to be addicted to a drug substance? Do they need detox, counseling, and perhaps other emotional assistance, or do we simply continue to punish? The president said that method hasn't been working. Well, that's all for today. I'm Naima Latif with On Air Daily News. Until tomorrow, enjoy the rest of your day.